Good morning. My name is Christina Bowles, and I'm an epidemiologist in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention at CDC. And I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. Men who have sex with men, or MSM, are disproportionately affected by HIV infection. MSM, including those who inject drugs, represented 67% of diagnosed infections in 2012, despite representing an estimated 2% of the U.S. population. And data from the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance System, conducted in 2011, found that 33% of MSM were unaware of their infection. Persons who aren't aware of their infection cannot get treatment to stay healthy and may infect others without knowing it. CDC currently recommends that MSM test at least annually for HIV. Homophobia, stigma, and discrimination experienced by MSM are social determinants of health that can affect physical and mental health and may limit the ability for MSM to seek or obtain health services, and it may impact the quality of the services that they receive. Enacted stigma, which is what this presentation focuses on, encompasses harmful and discriminatory actions experienced directly by an individual. In a recent internet survey of LGBT populations, gay men reported experiencing the following types of enacted stigma since the age of 18. 25% had experienced violence, 63% had experienced verbal abuse, and 18% had experienced job or housing discrimination. For our analysis, we wanted to explore the association between stigma and HIV testing among a sample of internet-using MSM. So there were two objectives of the analysis. The first was to describe the proportion of men that reported various enacted stigma measures due to sexual orientation in the time frame of the past 12 months prior to the interview. And the second objective was to examine if enacted stigma in the past 12 months was associated with a reduced probability of testing for HIV within that same 12-month time frame. I'll now describe the methods of the study. So data for this analysis are from the web-based HIV Behavioral Survey, or WHBS. WHBS was a cross-sectional survey of an internet-based convenience sample of MSM, and we conducted this from June to August of 2012. We collected self-reported data on demographics, sexual behavior, HIV testing, and other topics. The survey received Institutional Review Board by Emory University, who served as the subcontractor on the project. Respondents were recruited using banner advertisements, social media, and peer referral methods. Banner ad recruitments were in English and Spanish and were randomly displayed on websites popular with gay and bisexual men. We did not use any geotargeting for the ads. They were disseminated across the nation. For the social media recruitment method, men were recruited through text-based advertisements on Facebook, and those were targeted to men that identified as being interested in other men. In addition, two nonprofit organizations featured the survey link on their Facebook pages as well to publicize the survey for us. Participants who completed the survey were also given the opportunity to refer their friends to the survey by sending them a private Facebook message with the link to the survey. Men who responded to an advertisement or an email link were redirected to the survey's homepage. Persons were consented and given a brief online eligibility questionnaire. The eligibility criteria are listed here on this slide: 18 years of age or older, currently identify as male, a resident of the United States or a dependent area, able to take the survey in English or Spanish, and ever reported anal or oral sex with a man. For the questionnaire, eligible respondents completed a 15-minute self-administered confidential survey. Questionnaire topics are listed here on this slide and included a number of areas. So this survey you could really characterize as a rapid behavioral assessment. We looked at a lot of different measures. We also randomized men to take three survey modules. And one of those modules was on the enacted stigma measures. And that was really an effort to try to reduce the survey time to 15 minutes total because there were no financial incentives for taking the survey, and we wanted to keep it as short as possible. All right, so on to the analysis sample for this particular presentation. So we restricted the sample to men who reported at least one male sex partner in the past 12 months, and since we were looking at an outcome of HIV testing, we restricted the sample to men who reported being either HIV negative or who were not aware of their current HIV status. Our outcome measure was the HIV testing in the past 12 months, and we compared men who had reported enacted stigma versus men that did not report these measures. So here is the full sample. We had a total of 18,771 persons click on the survey link. 70% were consented and screened. Among the approximately 11,000 men eligible to take the survey, a little over 8,000 met our analysis criteria. And then in terms of this presentation, a little over 2,400 had been randomly assigned to take the stigma survey module. So the sample size that we're working with in this presentation is the 2,400. Here's our enacted stigma measures. We looked at stigma covering both verbal and physical abuse, as well as a few measures related to discrimination. And these were all based upon sexual orientation. So respondents were asked in the past 12 months if they had experienced any of the following situations because someone knew or assumed they were attracted to men. And that was called names or insulted, physically attacked or injured, received poorer services than other people in restaurants, businesses, or agencies, treated unfairly at work or school, or denied or given lower quality health care. For our modeling, we used multivariate Poisson modeling to estimate prevalence ratios and 95% confidence intervals. We adjusted for HIV testing-related covariates significant at the 0.05 level. The covariates are shown here. All analyses were conducted using SAS 9.3. I'll now go on to the results. I'll first provide an overview of our sample of men for this survey. Men in our sample were predominantly non-Hispanic white. Approximately 50% were under the age of 30, and the majority, 92%, had at least some college education. Respondents were recruited from both urban and rural locations in the U.S., with 56% living in urban areas. And for our overall sample, we got at least one respondent per state. Thank you, North Dakota. Okay, there's only a few in North Dakota, but still, I appreciate that they answered our survey. The majority of the sample, 91%, identified as gay or homosexual. For questions on health behavior, 85% had seen a healthcare provider in the past 12 months, and nearly three-quarters were out to their provider, which means they had told their provider they had sex with men. A little over half the men had tested for HIV in the past 12 months. For past 12 months, sex risk behavior, which was one of our covariates we adjusted for, condomless anal intercourse was reported by 62% of respondents. Take my little pointer out of the way. Okay, so for the past 12 month enacted stigma measures, 44% of respondents reported being called names or insulted, 3% were physically attacked or injured, 18% experienced unequal treatment in businesses and restaurants, 15% reported unequal treatment in school or work, and 3% reported unequal treatment in healthcare settings. I'm first going to discuss the results of our models evaluating the enacted stigma measures and HIV testing. This first table shows the modeling process at the bivariate analysis for the bivariate analyses to determine what variables would be included in the final models. And I'm not including any of our other covariates. I'm just focusing on the stigma measures. So for enacted stigma, three of the measures were associated with past 12-month testing. That was called names or insulted, physically attacked or injured, and the unequal treatment in restaurants and businesses. However, unexpectedly, the direction of the prevalence ratios indicate that respondents who experienced these situations had an increased probability of testing in the past 12 months, not a decreased probability, which was what we had initially hypothesized. We see similar results in the multivariate models. So we conducted five multivariate models. Each model contained one measure of stigma, and then all of the HIV testing-related covariates with the outcome of HIV testing. So we, of the five models, two models were statistically associated with recent testing, shown here in the yellow highlight. Respondents who were called names or insulted or had received unequal treatment in businesses or restaurants had an increased probability of testing for HIV in the past 12 months. And these adjusted prevalence ratios, as expected, were in the same direction as what we had seen in the bivariate analyses. The remaining measures of enacted stigma were not significant in the adjusted models. In terms of the summary of our results, experiences of enacted stigma for our sample were not associated with reduced probability of testing. Our analysis did identify two stigma measures, experiencing verbal insults and unequal treatment in restaurants and businesses, that were associated with increased probability of testing for HIV infection. These results were unexpected to us, given our hypothesis that experiences of stigma may be a barrier to health-seeking behaviors such as HIV testing. This slide goes over some of our limitations, but it's actually kind of a future directions and limitations slide all rolled into one. First, I really feel that there are other mediating and moderating factors that could explain our results. Mediating factors that I think about include things such as resiliency, social support, the extent to which men internalize their experiences. These are some of the positive factors, like resiliency and social support, can help individuals mitigate the effects, the negative effects of stigma, and can also help support health-seeking behaviors such as testing. These are, I think, very important concepts to explore in future surveys. Because this was more of a behavioral, like a rapid assessment, though, we didn't delve deep into any of these topics. We didn't measure these pieces, and I think that's unfortunate because I don't think we have a complete picture here. We also want to explore some moderating factors. So we adjusted for outness and race and ethnicity in terms of being potential confounders, but we did not yet test for interactions between these factors and enacted stigma. So we're going to look at some interactions going forward for a manuscript that is currently in development. Second, the stigma measures and HIV testing measures are self-reported by the participants and are subject to recall bias. Thirdly, our study didn't assess if participants actively sought testing or if they were tested as a part of routine health care. And as you recall from one of the earlier slides, about 85% of men had gone to their health care provider in the past 12 months. 75% were out to their provider. So along those lines, you know, we can think about perhaps enacted stigma measures can be a barrier to testing, but perhaps for those men that are actively seeking out testing versus those men that are going and getting testing as part of a routine medical checkup. So that's, again, something we weren't able to measure, but I think could have an impact on what we're seeing. And lastly, respondents were recruited through a convenience sample and are subject to selection bias. Therefore, the sample may not be representative of all internet-using MSM. In conclusion, the proportion of respondents experiencing past 12-month enacted stigma ranged from 3 to 44%. Our sample did not find any evidence that past year experience with stigma impeded HIV testing. And lastly, from a methodological comment, although enacted stigma can very well negatively impact health-seeking behaviors, and we've seen that in other research, it's important that when measuring these types of situations, it's imperative to also look at other factors such as social support, resiliency, when evaluating the associations between stigma and health-seeking behaviors, I think just to get a more full picture of what's happening. And we're going to go ahead and hold questions for the end. Thanks so much for your time today.